Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? Who's there? What's going on?
It's time to enter the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
All right, let me get one thing out of the way right now. Because I know what you want. No. I know what you want. But I am contractually obligated to get one thing out of the way right now. The 4K a day. Okay? So let me just get that thing done right now and tell you that you need to text. You've got 7 minutes now to text the word LOOT. L-O-O-T. LOOT. To 62582. That's LOOT to 62582. Do you understand me? Text the word LOOT for the 4K a day and your chance to win $1,000. LOOT, L-O-O-T, to 62582. Did we take care of that business? Did we get it out of the way? Fine. Now let's get this party started. Football Friday in the doghouse. Come on now. You get any better than football music and a fine Southern tradition. The Friday Trifecta. Now in year 16. You got to get it kicked off with a little bit of funky Monday Night Football. The original Monday Night Football. Kidding me, man? Check this guitar out, will you? I made you want to make a moonwalk before moonwalking was a thing. It's just way too much fun. First Friday Trifecta, our season-long effort to determine the best handicapper in the doghouse. 15 guys now on the Grand Trifecta Big Board, but just two, Kevin B. and Cowboy Chris, have two wins. Plenty of time to get in. And we got our weekly prizes and so on, but look, the idea is to get in each week, win the most trifectas, and then win the Grand Trifecta and the Grand Prize, which, of course, is that VIP package to the Music City Mall. I'm talking about club seats, the tailgate party, parking, battle of the band, the whole enchilada for the 2017 Music City Bowl. Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. That's coming up, by the way, Friday, December 29th, 3:30 in Nashville. So you're going to want to get a piece of that. All right, here are today's lines straight from Vegas. All right, straight from Vegas. LSU plus 2.5.
Football.
At Florida.
It's Tebow time. Let's get going.
Ole Miss plus 22.5.
Who the hell are we?
Wait a minute. At Auburn.
You've been following me all day, man. What do you want with me?
You blank there for a minute with them. Alabama minus 26.5.
Roll all over their ass.
at Texas A&M.
Here's Johnny.
I'm telling you, there's an embarrassing press conference in that kid's future.
And your tiebreaker, the Titans minus 2.5. At the Dolphins.
Dude, that's Jay Cutler over there. You kind of suck, but my dad says you might be good someday.
And today, in our first double dip bonus pick, the Packers getting 2.5.
Grab. Nobody tackle.
Brett Favre.
At the Dallas Cowboys.
How about you, Cowboys?
Yeah!
What that means is if you hit them all, not just a point, you get 2 points. So in other words, you jump right to the top of the heap if you're not on a board yet. You get 2 points this week. You can get those in on the phone or via the text message. The text number is 7329-TA-SHOW. 732-982-7469. Your phone number, of course, 866-485-9867. Huge baseball day going on right now. Boston and Houston. Last I checked, Houston was up 2-1. New York and Cleveland, game two coming up following this one. Cubs and Nats, game one in the National League. D-backs at Dodgers, your midnight action tonight. Good action last night in the sports world as well. I got to say, I pretty much saw it all. I mean, I started with the Preds and the Bruins. You know, I'm a Bruins fan, but I love the Preds. I was looking for Boston to win in OT. So the Preds would get a point, the Bees would get two, but the Bees won 4-3 in regulation. Next for Nashville is the Pens in Pittsburgh. Then the Yankees and Indians got started. Trevor Bauer was a witch. No hit the Yankees for 6 innings, but the Indians got the 4-0 win. Here's what makes baseball different from every other sport. I mean, really separates baseball from every other sport. The smallest guy in the league, Jose Altuve.
And Jose drives this one pretty deep to left center field. Benintendi is going back, looking up. See you later! Back-to-back jacks. First Bregman, now Altuve. 2-0 Astros.
Not one.
First pitch, and Altuve drives this one deep to left center field. Benintendi is going back, looking up. See you later! Second home run of the game for Jose Altuve. And the Astros' lead is 5-2.
Not two.
Here's the 1-1. Ball belted to left. That ball's got a chance. Make it three. Are you kidding me, Altuve? Three home runs.
So this dude is, you know, 5'4", weighs 145 pounds. He hits three home runs. The biggest guy in the league, 6'8", 285 pound Aaron Judge, struck out 4 times. Well, then the football got going. The Patriots found their defense. The Bucs kicker Nick Folt won all Cade Foster. I mean, just dude was missing everything. I'm just happy that Tom Brady didn't go off, keeping me in contention in my fantasy game with the Blitzkrieg. I did get 15 points from Steven Gostkowski as well, my kicker. Didn't get anything out of Gillisley, though, like 5 or 6 points. He had Tom Brady and a Logan kid. Logan had like 13 or 14 points, but Brady only had like 18 points. So I'm still in that thing. And then the NC State Fighting Cublics put the hammer on Louisville. And yes, I saw the last play of both the football games. They happened at the exact same time. It was like one last play, switch over, the other last play. Five-star quarterback Justin Fields is committed to Georgia during a pep rally this morning at Harrison High School in Kennesaw, Georgia. Fields was also considering Auburn, Alabama, Florida State, LSU. 6'3", 221-pounder, dual-threat quarterback. He was previously committed to Penn State, but he decommitted, reopened his recruitment back in June. So that's a good get for Kirby Smart. Another good get for Kirby Smart. He's stacking up quarterbacks like Cordwood over there. We're going to kick things off today with Steve Merrill from ProSportsInfo.com, give you some insight on the trifecta games. In the three, SEC insider Josh Ward is back in the house, followed by the Bleacher Reports, he said. Brent Sobolewski talking some NFL with us. In the four, we're going to get things started with some open lines, and then Clint Lamb from Saturday Down South is in talking Tide at Texas A&M. If you got an idea what you want to contribute to the show, we invite you to get in toll-free 866-485-9867. 1-800-919-3776-7. We also have the entire digital doghouse for you as well. That consists of our Twitter feed, at Tom Abraham Show. You can throw us a follow there. Facebook fan page, throw us a like at Facebook.com/Tom Abraham Show. Then there's the text window, 7329-TA-SHOW. That's 732-982-7469. Doghouse inbox is open as well. Tom@TomAbraham.com. That man over there behind the curtain playing the stacks of wax and the platters that matter. He's answering phones. He's pushing buttons. He's making sure that we stay on the air. He's in our Palatial Alum Studios. He's part Italian. He's part Mexican. He's mostly mutt. His family calls him Antonio Macbeth. To us, he's just Mick Halftime.
Chico, don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand.
Kiss my brown ass.
Do you know who I am?
Who in the blue hell are you?
I'm the producer of this show. If I didn't step up, you're nowhere. I put this thing together out of spit and polish.
The guy's an intern.
I don't care how many dago, guinea, wop, greaseball, goombas come out of the woodwork.
You don't ever say that to me, bullcrap.
All those of you that know Italians and like Italians, this is your day.
But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
You can't speak Italian just because you have a mustache.
How come they ain't Puerto Ricans on Star Trek?
When you ask me those kind of questions, it really pisses me off.
Hey, Tom.
Tom, can you get me off the hook? For old time's sake.
You ask a question every week that I don't know anything about.
It should be a friggin' investigation.
We love you forever and ever.
Say hello to my little friend.
Tony McHaffishow doing today?
Big dog, hey, I'm about to go on a road trip with Arky, so take that how you want it, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. I've only been on a couple short ones with him, so we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, you better take some cinder blocks with you, put on your side of the car, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, Arky's got that little car, you know what I mean?
well, we'll be taking the UMP truck.
Oh, you're taking a new UMP rig?
Oh, yeah, we've taken it the last couple games.
No eating in the UMP rig. Is it still nice inside? It better be immaculate inside.
Yeah, it looks really good. I mean, there was some cosmetic stuff, a little noticeable, not awful about it, though, when we got it. So when you see a couple things in there, we didn't do that, but,
oh, okay.
You know.
But keep it nice, man, because that last UMP truck we had, you know, sometimes, you know, we got to keep these things nice because we only have them for 2, 3, 4, 12, 15 years. So we got to kind of keep them nice, if you know what I'm saying.
Doug, I walk every day out there to what they call the graveyard to my car, so I know exactly what you're saying.
So Cream is side by each today the whole time, right from the beginning? He's just getting ready to seamlessly take over at halftime?
Yeah, I'm sitting across in Cole's seat right now. He's running the board for you, so I'm keeping
Cole's
a close eye. But
is that what you're saying? It's Cole's seat now. Is that what it is? It's not the host chair, you know, in case I came to. It's Cole's seat in Cole's studio. It's the Cole Kublik Memorial Studio. I feel you.
Hey,
I understand. I get it. When you're on the other side, are you sitting in Arky's chair or are you sitting in the production chair?
I call it Arky's chair, but
oh, okay.
But
it's Arky and Cole's studio. All right.
I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you about the Cole Kublik, Memorial Studio. I won't argue that. But the chair, I will say it's Cole's chair. I only say it's Cole's chair because you've been in here twice since I've been here. So, you know.
Shh. What do you mean I'm in there twice? Right here across from you. What are you kidding me?
Me and Cream are looking at you right now.
Yeah, you're looking at my right now. I mean, come on now. Going there with me. All right, we got so much to do. I want to get to the phone lines. But first, I want to learn something that I didn't know 2 minutes ago. So hook me up with a little manure.
No problem, big dog. 1926 is where we're going to start it. Babe Ruth hits 3 home runs in a World Series game. That's impressive. Yankees beat the Cardinals 10-5. 3 home runs in the biggest stage of all. 1983. It's spelled Bossy, so I'm going to say it. I'm assuming it's wrong because he's a hockey player and those names are out to get me. But Mike Bossy of the Islanders nets his 25th hat trick, 25th career hat trick. That's third. He finished third all time with 39, but he's one of 9 players with 25 hat tricks in his career.
Number 22 for the New York Islanders during their glory years, Mike Bossy.
Oh, it is Bossy. Good. I was like, it's going to be Bossier or something stupid. and I'm going to get it wrong, and he's going to yell at me.
If it had an IR at the end, it would be Bossier, but that's Mike Bossy, man.
1983, the New York Jets announced they're leaving Shea for the Meadowlands. So that was, 34 years ago. My God.
Yeah.
2010, Roy Halladay pitches only the second no-hitter in Major League Baseball postseason history during Game 1 of the NLDS against the Reds. I remember that game. Hey, it's something in the minutiae I can say I remember. How about that?
There you go.
And there's one birthday that stands out among the rest today, and that is Tony Dungy, 62 years old, the former head coach of the Indianapolis Colts.
Good guy, Tony Dungy. All right. That's good minutiae. That's a good job by you. Houston just hit a home run while you were Manoogian, and they're now up 3-1. Looking to put a stranglehold on that deal in the bottom of the third against the Boston Red Sox, against Pomerantz, who was on the bump here for Boston.
That may be my favorite verb of all time now. While you were Manoogian.
You were Manoogian.
The Manoogian.
It was while you were Manoogian. It's that's a good job by you. All right, let me get a couple of these guys in here because they're getting ready. They're stacking up. They want to get in. It's the Friday trifecta, and I didn't even put it. I already got a bunch of them coming in on the text window, and I didn't even put it out there yet on the social media. I forgot to put it on the Facebook page and the Twitter and all that kind of stuff, which I promise I will do this at some particular point in time. But it's our first double-dip bonus pick of the year, so we've got five games today, and let's start it off as we always do, it seems like, with Wolverine Dan. Wolverine Dan, welcome to the show, brother. How are you?
I got a couple of things. First, Jason Verlander. I want him to win the World Series. I'm pulling hard for the Houston Astros because he deserves a ring. Right? Verlander plus his wife, his girlfriend's smoking hot.
Now, yeah, are they married now? I think they got married, but yeah, he won yesterday. So he got the win yesterday, so they're up. Yeah, they're up already, huh?
Yeah, he'd be stupid if he didn't marry her. Gee, my God. Anyway, you have a bad day for work. You come home and look at that. Oh, Jesus, give me a break. Anyway, with that said, I think last night was the first hockey game played at the new arena, Little Caesars Arena. I call it Little Squeezers.
Did you watch it? Did you see they got the Olympia, the sign from the old Olympia? They got it and they put it inside. A guy found it. They were looking for crap, you know, to put in the new Little Caesars that kind of was memorabilia and stuff. And the guy found the letters from the Olympia, and he sanded them down and got all the rust off. And he got a neon company that put neon in them and everything. And they put the Olympia sign up inside the arena.
Now that's pretty cool, Tom. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, what's not cool before my pick? Yesterday, a lot of stuff gets by me, okay? Because, you know, there's a lot of space in between my ears, right? I had no problem with that. It is what it is. Now, but this didn't get by me yesterday. Yesterday, you were talking to Smokey Mike, and you were doing the Beat the Big Dog.
Yeah.
And you said the Detroit Lions are playing like they got a horseshoe up their ass because they're lucky. You got to be kidding me, Tommy. You put my Lions in the top 10.
I did. I put them number 5.
The Atlanta Falcons had 8 seconds left in the ball game. Should have won the ball game. This is a legitimate team. Did your Cleveland Browns make the playoffs last year? No, I did.
My Cleveland Browns don't even belong to me in the NFL, but the Lions, I put them at number 5 in my poll, but they are playing with a horseshoe up their butt right now. I mean, they have been, you know, this is for the last 2 years, they've played that way, and, you know, I mean, you'd say they should have beaten the Falcons. They didn't beat the Falcons. Guy was down, and it is what it is. But they're, you know, they're good. They're good. But this is the best. You know, this would be a good win for them if they can get it. They still haven't. The three teams they beat are not very good.
Okay, I'm telling you right now. I don't care if Atlanta's got a W. I think their loss, it was a win for me. That's all I got to say. Right, now, with that said, I don't think there's no horseshoe going nowhere. Okay. My bottom line is this team legitimate, and they'll prove that at the end of the year when I'm in the playoffs and I go get my money from Vegas. So let's do this trifecta.
LSU plus 2.5 at Florida.
I'm taking LSU because we beat the snot out of Florida. We're a much better team, and LSU is a leftover from Les Miles. He's a Michigan man.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer.
Ole Miss. Oh, that's why I did that, because okay, there we go. Ole Miss plus 22.5 at Auburn.
Oh, my God, that's a lot. I'm going to take Ole Miss, and I'll take the 22.5.
I'm so confused because they both played Alabama last week, and now I mean Ole Miss and Mississippi State and back-to-back. All right, Alabama minus 26.5 at A&M.
God, I hate doing this. You know what I do. I'm going to say it. I'll take Bama.
Roll all over their ass.
Titans minus 2.5 at the Finns.
You know what? I don't think the Titans are worth crap. We'll kick their butt any day of the week. I like the Dolphins. I'll take Dolphins in the point.
Dude, that's Jay Cutler over there. You kind of suck, but my dad says you might be good someday.
And in our double dip bonus, the Packers plus 2.5 at the Cowboys.
You know what? I'll take the 2.5, and I think the Packers are going to win all right. But, you know, bottom line is they're going to get softened up, and then they come to our place, and we double dip on Badger Larry and your Badgers with triple dip. You got it?
Brett Favre.
All right, we got you, man. Have a great weekend.
See you later.
All right, see ya. Bama Zach is next. Bama Zach, Country Unheard From. How you doing, brother?
Hey, brother. We got a homecoming game tonight, East Limestone, so I got off a little early today.
Oh, nice. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you heard the big news the other day, but we will have a Alabama-Tennessee T-shirt remote at the new Jersey Mike's at Whitesburg and Airport Road coming up on the 18th, Wednesday the 18th.
Yeah, that means it's hard for me. Man, you need to get one to Athens, Madison. Somebody needs to buy a remote that way, man.
Yeah, I hear you, Athens, but, you know, it is what it is. All right, LSU gets 2.5 at Florida.
After they got beat by Troy, Florida Gators.
It's Tebow time. Let's get going.
Ole Miss plus 22.5 at Auburn.
I can't, as Wolverine Dan said, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but the Barn, I mean the Tigers.
You've been following me all day, man. What do you want with me?
Tide are minus 26.5 at Annam.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
The Titans minus 2.5 at your Dolphins.
Yeah, they used to be my – I don't keep up with them as much as I used to, but, I mean, the Titans got beat by 40 last week. Let's go Dolphins.
Dude, that's Jay Cutler over there. You kind of suck, but my dad says you might be good someday.
And the Packers plus 2.5 at your Cowboys.
Go Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
All right, brother, we got you in. Have a great weekend. Right. Enjoy homecoming tonight.
All right, have a good weekend, brother.
All right, man, you too. Let me get one more. Underdog is up next. Underdog, welcome to the show, brother. How are you?
I am football fantastic. How are you?
If I was any better, I'd be two of me.
You know, there's two of me, and trust me, it's no fun.
Yeah, that's true. You are a twin. I forgot about that. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
LSU plus 2.5 at Florida.
Florida.
It's Tebow time. Let's get going.
Ole Miss plus 22.5 at Auburn.
Auburn.
War Eagle.
Bama minus 26.5 at A&M.
A&M.
Here's Johnny.
Titans minus 2.5 at the Finns.
Tighten up.
And the Pack plus 2.5 at the Cowboys.
Oh, well, it's got to be my Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
All right, brother, we got you down.
Thanks, bro. Bye.
All right, let me get out of here. We'll get a break. When we come back, we'll get things started with Steve Merrill from ProSportsInfo.com. It's the Tom Abraham Show. Back with more after this on a Football Friday. Right here on 730-1039, the UMP. It's now 4-1 Houston with nobody out. Two men on. They've run Drew Pomerantz. Tell you what, right now it's not looking good for that TV dream matchup Yankees-Red Sox in the ALCS. Not going to happen. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. I'm just saying. You can dream out about that. All right, joining us now, a guy that does a tremendous job handicapping, well, everything, but especially football. He, of course, is Steve Merrill from ProSportsInfo.com. Steve, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, Tom, doing well.
This isn't going to go well for those that want to see the Yankees and the Red Sox in the ALCS, is it?
Yeah, we'll see if the national TV network conspiracy plays out or not.
Yeah, I guess. You know they want Cubs, Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox. Then they can't. They'll get two big numbers for the CSs, and then they'll get a big number for the World Series, no matter who they get. If they got Boston, New York, Chicago, and L.A. all in it at the CS level, they're going to be very happy.
I guess Arizona, Houston would be the worst possible scenario for them.
Houston, and it's too bad because Houston's a really fun team to watch, you know. So, you know, that would be my choice probably to come out of the American League. Maybe Cleveland, you know, because of the drama that is involved in that. But neither one of those teams have ever won the World Series. So, you know, certainly that they would have that storyline.
Yeah, I think Cleveland's obviously the team to beat. I mean, the Dodgers were as good as anybody the first half of the season, but then Cleveland was actually even better over the last month and a half when they went on that 22-game win streak. And what's really ironic about that is right as Cleveland played excellent, the Dodgers started playing awful. So the real question for me is, did Cleveland, you know, use up a lot of energy too early, or can the Dodgers turn things around? But those overall for the season, those were definitely the two best teams, I thought.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, let's get to some of the college action that will be taking place. And the one that's going to be played in Florida, it looks like they're going to miss any of the weather, but there's a couple of big ones that are going to be played down there. Let's start with the CBS game where LSU is getting a couple of points, 2.5 against a Florida team that now ostensibly doesn't have their starting receiver, their starting running back, their starting quarterback, but still they continue to hang around and win football games. And LSU looks like a train wreck. What do you think about LSU plus 2.5 at Florida?
Yeah, it's really hard to trust either offense right now. And even though it's a fairly low total for, you know, a modern-day college football game, it's in the 40s range. I still think the under is probably the only way to play it. Florida's been a very good defensive team for several years now, but that offense has always been dicey. This total was at 46.5. It's now down to 45. I even see some 44s out there. So we're losing some value. Florida currently about a 2-point favorite. That line has dropped as well due to the injury. But just tough to trust LSU. You know, that Mississippi State loss is looking a lot worse each and every week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people made a lot of comments off of that Mississippi State victory. And, you know, Dan Mullen is the hottest coach in America and all of this stuff. And now all of a sudden, you know, you look at what's happened to them the last few weeks. Now they look kind of like trash. And so who knows? And it's kind of like what happened last night. You know, everybody makes a big deal out of Clemson's, you know, three wins over ranked teams, and Alabama hasn't beaten a top 25 team, and except for the fact that Florida State was number two when they beat them. And now last night you look at NC State, a nice team, no question, but they whack Louisville. And yeah, you just got to be careful, you know, when you try to use comparables to determine, you know, who's the top team in the country.
Well, I'll tell you what I take away from is that NC State remains underrated, and I think their Florida State win, although they caught FSU at a really good time, I think when the season's over, FSU's going to be a pretty good team again, so that win's going to look really good. And keep in mind, their only loss came in week one, and I know because I had a best bet on North Carolina State for my clients. If you told me beforehand they're going to have over 500 total offensive yards and outgain South Carolina by over 200 total yards, I would have felt pretty good about them as a small favorite, and they lost that game. So they really should be undefeated right now.
Yeah, they lost to a South Carolina team that's gone on to lose to Texas A&M and Kentucky. So, yeah, it's just I don't know. It's tough sometimes in this day and age. All right, the other game in Florida that's gotten a lot of attention is the one in Tallahassee. Miami going there to Florida State. Florida State with the two losses already. Boy, this would be a big feather in their cap. They've owned Miami for years. Does Miami finally get over on a wounded Florida State team?
There's definitely some value with Florida State as a home dog. Now, who would have thought they'd be a home underdog just a month ago when they were only a touchdown dog on a neutral field against Alabama? They were the number three ranked team in the country. Obviously, it's a different squad now. They lost their quarterback. They've got a young freshman playing a QB now. They also had several weeks off during the hurricane. So a lot of distractions. But because of that, I actually think we're getting value now with Florida State, not only this week but in the near future. And the fact that they're a home dog here just shows that they're already getting a value because my power ratings actually make them a favorite in this game. You also have to wonder if their come-from-behind win last week against Wake is maybe a turning point. They ended up winning by seven as a seven-point favorite. And they remind me a lot of USC last year. You know how bad Southern Cal was in September. They had all their offensive starters back but a quarterback, and they really struggled until they figured it out. And then over the final months of the season, they were as good as anybody in the country last year. I kind of get a feeling that Florida State's going to fit that same mold. They just still have too much talent on this team to continue to underachieve.
Steve Merrill with this, ProSportsInfo.com. Ole Miss is getting 22.5 at Auburn. Does Auburn do what Alabama did and just run roughshod over the Rebs?
I definitely don't want anything to do with Ole Miss, that's for sure. Last week I faded them with Alabama, an easy blowout win, and because of that, obviously, this line is a bit inflated now, and Auburn's been looking pretty good in recent weeks. So this line, unfortunately, would have probably been, you know, 20 or 21 or less a week ago, and now you're laying 22 or more, so you've crossed that key number. But still, Auburn's got momentum after 100 points in their past two games, and I really want nothing to do with Ole Miss at this point.
Alabama's on their scorched earth campaign here, and they stayed just under a key number at 26.5 at A&M. But you know, A&M doesn't. I'm going to say this again because I was on the wrong side last week. I was on the Ole Miss because it was just so many points. But here, Alabama 26.5, and A&M's numbers at least show that defensively against the run, 14th in the country. That's Alabama's thing. You're running the ball. You know, they've got a receiver. They've got a running back. They got a freshman quarterback, and I always take Nick Saban against a freshman quarterback. But is 26.5 just too much, or do you say screw it? We're just going to go ahead with Bama until they lose one of these things. ATS.
Yeah, I think this is one of those weeks where you probably could take a shot with the big dog. I actually had a best bet on Alabama last week. I liked the situation against an overrated Ole Miss squad. But because they're now off back-to-back blowout wins where they've outscored their opponents 125-3. You do get a feeling that maybe not only is there a little bit of a letdown this week, but there's also no line value. In fact, my power ratings now only favor Bama by 25, so this line of 26.5 is actually a little bit inflated. And A&M's a quality home dog here. So even though they've looked really good the past few weeks, and I did have a best bet on Alabama last week, I'm not sure this is the best spot for them now.
I mean, it's not like they didn't win the football game, you know, 38-14 or something, and it's
right.
A walk in the park, but it doesn't cover. I mean, it's just such a huge number, and but I've been saying that for 3 weeks, and I keep getting screwed over. I had Vandy, I had Ole Miss, and that hasn't worked out well. The Titans on Sunday, why are the Titans favored at the Finns? I personally believe that Marcus Mariota is going to play quarterback, but I don't know how effective he'll be. I know the Finns, you know, are rocking a Jay Cutler out there, but why are the Titans a favorite there? I just don't get that with the yards that they're giving up, and they've given up colossal passing efforts the last couple of weeks. What's your thought there?
Well, one thing that concerns you, obviously, is Miami coming back from London without rest. We saw both Baltimore and Jacksonville lose last week in that situation, and I talked about it last week. Normally, these teams have a bye week after their trip. The NFL's playing more games over there now, so it's not working out that way, and this is not a good scheduling spot for the Dolphins. They also lost 20-6 against the Jets, but keep in mind, that was only their second game. Everybody else had an extra game because they missed the opener. So Miami hasn't looked good. It's not a good scheduling spot. But then again, what do you do with Tennessee? I mean, they just gave up 57 points to the Texans,
right,
and their quarterback is questionable. So as of now, this is almost a no-touch game.
Yeah. And a game everybody's going to get Sunday afternoon is the Packers and the Cowboys, two very public teams. Pack getting a couple of points there against the Cowboys. Neither team really, you know, needs to lose another game this early in the season.
Yeah, I didn't have anything in the Dallas game last week, but I was really surprised to see how many points they gave up to the Rams. So LA's obviously improved this season, but to give up 35 points at home was really bad. And keep in mind, they gave up 42 at Denver a few weeks earlier. Broncos haven't really done much offensively in either game since. And Dallas's opening win against the Giants really isn't that impressive, considering how bad the Giants have looked this season. So Dallas needs to prove something here. Green Bay does as well, though. Green Bay might be 3-1 straight up, but they've had some lackluster wins. They caught Chicago in a really good spot last week because that was that quick turnaround Thursday night game, and the Bears had to travel. Green Bay does have some extra time here, so I think that's a bit of a scheduling edge for them. Both defenses, though, have been dicey. Before that Bears game, Green Bay gave up 58 points in their two games prior. I think over 52 is probably worth a look in this one.
Yeah, Steve Merrill with us, Pro Sports Info. Where are you on the Lions and the Rams? 2-3-1 teams that, you know, feel I'm trying, you know, I'm moving them up my power rankings as quickly as possible, but, you know, we're one quarter way through the season. Is this phony baloney with these teams, or are these teams that are going to be hanging around, you know, all fall long?
I just love to look at adjusted lines. You know, 1 month ago, do you think the Rams would have been a 2-point home favorite over the Seahawks? Just crazy. You know, yet that is really an accurate line based on how these teams have played so far this season. You look at the two games they played last year, and, you know, the Rams lost 24-3 at Seattle, but they did win 9-3 at home. In fact, they had won three straight before that road loss in December. So they've actually matched up well with the Seahawks, and they're actually playing better football this year. I'm not as much of a believer in Detroit. I still think they're a suspect team, and Carolina getting points there looks like the better team in that game. But they are coming off that big road win of the Patriots and traveling again. You just have to wonder if that's a bit of a flat spot for Carolina.
You got anything sneaky good for Saturday? You know, some Sun Belt game or something like this that you're all over?
Yeah, one game I used in my line watch article, which I always put out each week, you know, a game which I said play now was actually Northern Illinois. They're coming off a bye, and they actually had a little extra time. It was minus 13.5. That's a MAC game right there for you. And, you know, those often fly under the radar, and for good reason. There are not very many good teams in that league anymore. But that is a game I sent out earlier this week. I'm sorry, I meant Toledo. I said Northern Illinois. Toledo minus 13.5 against Eastern Michigan. Eastern Michigan's been getting better the last few years, but I still don't think they're at the same level as a quality team like Toledo.
Rank the bad beat off of that Kansas City game. I mean that thing flipped the side and flipped the total on a goofy, you know, lateral play at the end of the game when nobody cares. It's as good a win. We always talk about them as bad beats. We never look at the other side. You know, those Kansas City fans in the stands that had action on Kansas City, they were euphoric when they went home. But that's got to be about as bad a beat if you were on Washington as you could have, right?
Yeah, I actually had Northwestern a few years ago when that happened against Ohio State.
Right.
Flea flickered and fumbled in the end zone at the end of the game and didn't cover. This was as bad but worse because for a few reasons. First of all, it's a Monday night NFL game, so there's a tremendous amount of action as opposed to just one college football game on a Saturday. And as you mentioned, Tom, both the side and total switched because of it. And here's what's even crazier. Nobody really talked about this. Earlier in the week, the over-under was 49.5. It came down to 48 by game time, and most of the day on Monday it was 48. So it went, you know, from 42 to 49. However, they did not kick the extra point. They took the knee. So instead of hitting 50, which means if you played the over earlier in the week at 49.5, you lost because they didn't kick that meaningless extra point. And then, of course, just running the ball in for a touchdown was crazy because he should have just gone down and the game in, and it's better for Kansas City. So just insane all different levels.
My early week guy from Vegas Insider had Washington, and he was going nuts over the fact that that Houston didn't just lay on the ball, you know, didn't just go down. Why would he run that in? And I try to make the case. I think the guys are aware. I'm telling you, man, I've seen it with the Patriots for years and years where somehow, some way they cover that number. They always have a big number, and they figure out a way to cover that number. I think players are aware of the line to a certain extent. I'm not saying it dictates how they play. I'm not saying fix. But I'm thinking that they know. You know what I mean? And if they could get an easy cover for the home team, I think they're doing it.
No, way too much credit. You're giving these guys way too much credit. I think they're morons. And I don't think they have a clue what's going on out there. And I think, first of all, you don't get to score much in that situation. So he wanted a touchdown for that reason. But then on top of that, I don't even think he was thinking deep enough to know that it's better to go down. 90% of these guys don't think that way.
You know, and if that's the flip side. I had Albert Hainsworth on this week, and I asked him that. And he said that the guys in the locker room know 95% of the time no clue as to what the line is. They don't even know what the line is. I'm sure you know you're a 3-point favorite or you're a 7-point dog. And he said no. He goes, every once in a while, Jeff Fisher would say, you know, nobody believes in us. Nobody expects us to win this game. He said, but we never really know what the line is or think about it in a game. So,
and I agree. Right. And by the way, McDonough, the announcer with Gruden on Monday, said they kicked that because of that reason for gambling. I think he's absolutely wrong about that. I think the reason they still kick the extra point is because that's one of the tiebreakers, is total points way down the list.
Plus, it can go the other way for points. And
now
so
it can, but they did it back in the day even. I don't think it ever had a gambling element to it.
Yeah, they don't do it in college, though. They don't do it in college because there's no
tiebreaker.
Neat. Yeah, there's
See,
no tiebreaker.
That's why I think it makes a difference.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. Tell them how they can get a free pick right now from Steve Merrill.
Yeah, huge weekend. Went 9-1 this past week in football and all sports. Just a great time to get a free play. Email me, mention the show, steve@prosportsinfo.com for a free best bet. steve@prosportsinfo.com.
All right, Steve. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Tom.
steve@prosportsinfo.com for a free pick. The guy's hot as a pistol. I mean, it doesn't cost you anything. Why not? Steve at ProSportsInfo.com and say, I heard you on Tom Abraham's show. Just do that. It's a good job by you. All right, let's get a break. When we come back, we'll get an update and might be able to get a pick or two in if you want to jump on the Friday Trifecta. It's the Tom Abraham Show here on 730-1039 The Ump. Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. Let's get our first update with T-Mac. Our first of two, since he's ditching us. I mean, leaving for the game he's got to do tonight at 4 o'clock. It's a Doghouse Sports Report.
Tennessee's Daryl Taylor and offensive lineman Trey Smith were involved in a fight this week in practice. During the one-minute drill yesterday, offensive lineman Trey Smith lost his helmet while blocking Taylor to the ground. A wrestling match ensued where Taylor kicked at Smith, which resulted in a cleat to the face. Taylor was also involved in a fight during the Georgia game last Saturday that got him ejected. He will miss the first half next weekend against South Carolina, but things in Tennessee are just not looking pretty. Now, Big Dog, I know earlier you brought up Justin Fields for Georgia being the number one overall prospect committing to the Bulldogs. The good news stops there because Georgia linebacker Natros Patrick, who was tied for the third leading tackler on the team, he was arrested on a misdemeanor marijuana charge late last night in Athens, Georgia, and was released on a $1,500 bond early this morning. It's not his first run-in with the police. He was also arrested in 2015 as a freshman alongside teammate Chauncey Rivers. He was suspended one game then and may be subject to a four-game suspension now under Georgia Athletic Association's policies. And finally, Tennessee Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota will be a game-time decision for Sunday's matchup against the Dolphins at Hard Rock Stadium. Mariota has been limited in practice all week after suffering a hamstring injury in the third quarter against the Texans last weekend. I'm Tony Mack. That is your Doghouse Sports Report.
I mean, what a mess, you know, Butch Jones has on his hands. And then it just, by the way, how about a score in the ALDS between Houston and Boston? Did you give it? Did I miss it? 4-1, all right, is the score there. David Price came out of the bullpen with the bases loaded and nobody out and got Boston out of that jam. And it remained 4-1. So Boston, right now, Price has just finished his second inning. I mean, that's a lot of money, $20 million to pay for, you know, a middle reliever. But that's what he's been reduced to right now. But he has kept the Boston Red Sox in that game, bottom four. Houston up 4-1 now, nobody on, and one out in that game. So we'll keep you posted on that deal as well. All right. Do I have enough time to get Paulie in? Let me try. Paulie in the Cape. Paulie, welcome in. How are you, man?
I'm ready for the holiest and sacred day, the Friday Trifecta. I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Got to go fast. You got LSU plus 2.5 at Florida.
I'll take Florida.
You got them, that's for sure. All right.
It's Tebow time. Let's get going.
Ole Miss plus 22.5 at Auburn.
I'll take Ole Miss.
Ooh. Bama minus 26.5 at A&M.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'll take Alabama.
Road time.
The Titans minus 2.5 at your Finns.
Take the Dolphins.
Day. Dude, that's Jay Cutler over there. You kind of suck, but my dad says you might be good someday.
And the Pack, plus 2.5 at the Cowboys.
I'll take the Packers to cover. I mean,
grab. Nobody tackles.
All right, we got Paulie in. All right, we'll be back. Hour number two is next. It's right here on 730-1039 AM.